Hello, you're listening to an election edition of the Washington Weekly Review. I'm the Southeast Iowa Union's Kalen McCain. It's the week of April 20, 2024. The city of Washington will hold a special election on April 30 to pick its next mayor, and there's plenty of competition. Voters will see four names on the ballot a week from Tuesday. Stay tuned to hear from all four of those candidates in this special edition of the Washington Weekly Review. Hey, unless you're one of our two unexplained listeners on other continents, you've probably been to Washington before. That means you've probably heard of Dodigi's. That means you've probably heard of the three-part lunch special they've got for $12.12. You're likely also familiar with the three-course dinner special for $21.12. And you've surely caught wind by now of half-off bottles of wine on Thursdays. But when's the last time you ate there? Lately, Dodigi's has upgraded their outdoor seating, and they've added wine flights. Don't worry, if you're not one for new things, it's still as easy as ever to enjoy the beautiful view of Washington's downtown, selection of craft cocktails, and menu full of award-winning Italian cuisine. Thanks to Cafe Dodigi for sponsoring the Washington Weekly Review. Elaine Moore is a current at-large Washington City Council member, first elected in 2017. She's a vocal member of the decision-making body and on the Paws and More Board, president of the Kiwanis AMers, and treasurer of the Washington County Enrichment Foundation. She also worked at Hills Bank for 20-something years in town. Moore's pitch to voters? That she knows how to prioritize the city's needs.
There are so many things that could be at the top of the list. So you prioritize them by the ability to fund them. I've been in the corporate world for a lot of years. So I believe that I have the most experience when it comes to budgeting, when it comes to planning.
What in your mind is sort of priority number one for the city? Like what are the first things that like the next mayor needs to focus on?
Maintaining what we have, our infrastructure. We have infrastructure that is getting old, and it could fail at any time. Infrastructure should be a priority.
Do you mean sewer? Do you mean streets? Do you mean light posts? What do you mean?
I mean sewer.
Mm-hmm.
The egg sewer is priority. It is. We just found an easement for the egg sewer that was. It was built in the late 1800s. It is an absolute priority. We've known that it is failing. It is collapsing. It was built bricks and mortar back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. Absolutely a priority. We need to start planning. We need to start saving. And we need to figure out what is the best way to replace it.
That makes sense. Any other top priorities?
Lead service lines.
Mm.
DNR is requiring that we do a complete inventory of lead service lines. Lead service lines are in any structure that was built prior to 1980, including 1988 and prior. So there are lead lines on each side of the service lines. There's going to be costs on the city side. There's going to be costs on the property owner side. It's going to be, and we have no choice. This has to be done.
The candidate has a reputation as one of the city council's more outspoken members. She's usually prepared to give her two cents on matters of controversy and is quick on the draw for making and seconding motions. Some community members think she's impulsive in her remarks. Moore disagrees.
I guess, like, what is your response to those perceptions?
They have no idea how much time I put into looking into this. Whatever I'm commenting on, they don't know how much time I spend talking to people at City Hall, talking to my constituents. I spend a lot of time, a lot of time. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. They can have their opinion. I have no problem. And if I'm wrong, I will admit I'm wrong. I don't jump to conclusions. I go and I research.
Five council members signed a letter asking Rosine to step down earlier this year. Most of them cited the mayor's long-time leave of absence and uncertainty about his future as he fights charges of third-degree sexual abuse in court. Moore's rationale, however, is still based on the charges themselves. Moore was the first to call for former Mayor Jaron Rosine's resignation, openly advocating for it at the first city council meeting after charges were announced in early 2023. That was a month before Rosine had entered a not guilty plea in the case. She said his alleged conduct was unacceptable, whether a court found him guilty or not.
You don't have those charges filed if there isn't something seriously wrong. And you need to get your house in order. Now, whether this is deemed criminal or immoral, I don't know. It's not up to me. But is it fair to our city to have a mayor who has been charged with a felony? And I don't feel like I overstepped my bounds. I believe that I truly listen to everybody.
Ivan Rangel is another current city council member. He entered office in February of last year, replacing former Ward 2 council member Steve Gault, who resigned months prior. At 37 years old, he's the youngest one in the running for this mayoral race. It's evident in his campaign efforts. Rangel's candidacy promotion has mostly happened on social media rather than on doorsteps. He thinks voters will be eager to support a different way of thinking.
Well, the other thing is, too, I think it's time that our generation, you know, steps up, you know, and gets involved, you know, and I kind of want to pave the way, say, for future generations, you know, because I see on council stuff, it's, I'm the youngest person there, you know, so I would like to maybe have more young leaders step up to the platform, you know, and get a little bit more mixed, you know, generations in there, and I think that would give a good outcome, you know, in some of the decision-making and choices that we have to make.
Rangel ran for his current city council position with a promise to focus on housing developments and construction permit reform. Neither of those have materialized yet, but he said the next mayor would have a unique opportunity to bring those issues to the forefront. He also hopes to support the local economy and maintain the city's infrastructure if elected.
How? Like seeking grants through TIF? How would that even be like accomplished?
Like you said, both either seeking grants or working with TIF, I guess I would have to get more educated on. I have a little understanding how TIF works, but, you know, just getting more involved and see what we can do, what TIF money's out there or what grants are out there. And hopefully we can, you know, work with some developers and get things rolling. I know we already have the golf course, you know, but I think that development, I think the average home is like $400,000, which it's up there, you know, and the average family, you know, average household income can't afford that.
Millie and Elaine have like years and years of stuff to run on where they're like, I said I would do this and this happened, right? Mm-hmm. What's the pitch to voters who are maybe skeptical because the campaign promises you made for city council have not been met yet?
In a year?
I mean, yeah, like yeah, it's been a year. You know, is that all there is to it? Or?
Well, I mean, I don't think there's been enough time, and with all the internal issues we've been having going on with, you know, the mayor stepping down and now our city administrator resigning. So I think there's been other issues that we kind of got to deal with first before we can move forward, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's what, with me running, I hope to kind of establish, like, I don't say permanent, but like more
stability.
Yeah, stability. You know, have stability within the government, within our city government.
For most of his time on the city council, Rangel's been a quieter member, sometimes going several meetings in a row without making a comment. While he's gotten more talkative in recent months, he says he still sought to hear everything out before weighing in.
I don't want to let emotions get in the way with any of my decision thinking, you know. So I kind of try to stay level-headed, you know, and not let emotions get in the way of my thinking or what I say, you know. I want to take everything in and, you know, collect as much information as I can, you know, and make a, you could say, educated decision or educated comment, you know. I'm not just going to, you know, burst whatever's coming out of my mind, you know, because then that could, in the future, go back on me, you know. Mm-hmm. So you really got to sit down and think what you're going to say.
That's two candidates down and two to go. We'll be right back to tell you all about the other campaigns right after this. Todd Hahn Construction is an award-winning custom home builder with a 28-year history in the greater Iowa City area. Hahn's goal is to build you the finest quality custom home while providing you with a positive experience along the way. It's one of the many reasons they've been named the Iowa City Area Home Builder of the Year time and time again. A custom home is more than just a house. It's the culmination of a dream and years of hard work. Todd Hahn Construction makes that dream come true by always putting you, the customer, first. For more information, go to toddhahnconstruction.com. That's T-O-D-D-H-A-H-N construction.com. Millie Youngquist's name on the candidate list is a surprise to almost no one. The longest-sitting current council member has also served as Washington's mayor pro tem for the last 14 months. Her popularity in that role varies by issue. Many city residents complain about increased sewer and water rates under her leadership. A decision not to pursue railroad quiet zones last year, in spite of projected higher train traffic, was also divisive. But the city's pursuit of a development agreement for a hotel in December was applauded by business leaders. They said it could bring millions of dollars to Washington stores every year. More recently, new wayfinding signs have received support from local tourism advocates. Quality of life improvements, like switching away from an unpopular waste disposal contractor, and relaxing overnight parking restrictions downtown were also quite popular. The special election on April 30 is something of a referendum for Youngquist. She's embraced that fact.
Let's say you win the election, you go from mayor pro tem to mayor. Who cares? What's the implication for, like, Washington constituents?
Knowing that I have been duly elected by the citizens of Washington would be like a vote of confidence that I could move forward with my ideas. I also want to remain open to citizens for them to come to me. I've been knocking on some doors and going around town, and some concerns have come up, and it's been really good to talk to these people and listen to what they have to say.
Is a vote for you a vote for the way things have been going the last 14 months?
I think yes, but with improvements.
Okay. How do you figure?
Because I now have some new goals as the official mayor. I feel that I can set new goals and set a new, a somewhat maybe corrected version. So not like a drastic, you know, we're going to change everything we're doing, but keeping things moving forward.
Because being duly elected to the position gives you some political capital, or because, like, it gets you more in touch with the people to sort of make corrections to the agenda setting? Like, what do you, how?
Yes, I think probably both of those, okay. You know, just that if I'm elected, then that means the people wanted to have me in this position.
Her goals for the city are not flashy. Youngquist said she'd focus on infrastructure maintenance, communication with residents, and renewed attention on nuisance properties. The pro tem acknowledges that none of those goals might seem terribly exciting, but they are attainable.
So normally in a candidate interview, right, like you get like campaign promises or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And these goals do not seem especially lofty.
Right? Oh, no. I mean, well, you have to be practical too.
Yeah.
I mean, I know how it works. You know, we aren't given unlimited resources. We have to work with the tax dollars that are being assessed. We have to work with the regulations that the state puts on us.
I don't want to say you're setting the bar lower, right? But like those more practical goals, like are you at all worried about like selling that pitch to voters, right? As opposed to like a flashier, shinier, bigger agenda or whatever? What's the goal here?
I think a lot of them are practical people. And they realize that, you know, we need to have good sewers and water and streets.
Asked about her strengths as a candidate, Youngquist said she hoped her experience would be an easy sell for voters.
Voters have four people to choose from. All of those four people want to improve the city and want to make the city better. why should they pick you?
Because I have the experience. I've done it. These other people either haven't done it at all or have done it lesser time. I've made lots of connections with people and different projects. I have the stability and the temperament to effectively work with council and staff to improve Washington.
Rob Meyer is the only candidate running for mayor who is not currently on the city council. While he's never held a public office before, he has had management roles at a Walmart distribution center, a foundry, and as a coach for a baseball team. He currently manages a pair of condo buildings close to the edge of town with his wife. Meyer said he admired former Mayor Rosine's advocacy for the community, but said the charges against him had rattled the public's trust. If elected, he hopes to unify the town.
I don't want to elaborate on circumstances of where our city is currently at because, you know, my heart goes out and I'm praying for all those that are involved. But our city has a black eye right now. And a black eye, it takes time to heal. And it's got to be done in a way that is positive, impactful, and it moves the city forward as a whole. I feel like our city is currently divided because of the current circumstances, and that's kind of unfortunate. And I think our people are hurting right now as a city because of that. Their hearts are going out to the current situation. Their hearts are going out to Mr. Rosine. Their prayers are going out. I've heard them myself. I myself have been personally praying for him throughout all this. And we just need to come together as a community, and we need to know that if we all pull together, that it's all going to be all right. It's all going to come together. It's all going to be all right. Our city is going to bounce back from this. I've met too many amazing people in this town to say otherwise. This city is strong.
The candidate is familiar with the need for a comeback. His criminal record includes a conviction of domestic abuse in 2015, two counts of child endangerment in 2018, and a violation of a no-contact order in 2019. Meyer said he was not proud of his past, but was a different person today. He credits much of his personal growth to his Christian faith.
So every candidate gets a criminal background check since 2022, when their name shows up in my inbox. The previous mayor resigned because of legal problems. Like, we have a very recent example of how those kinds of things can spill over into our public officials' sort of, like, you know, duties in public life.
Right.
Why should voters trust you not to sort of recreate the same issues that the city is dealing with right now?
You know, sometimes you've got to hit rock bottom in order to get back up. And the city has hit rock bottom under the circumstances, and it's time to get back up. My personal life hit rock bottom, and I reached a point where it was time to get back up. As I said in the forefront, you know, I've got 7 kids now. It was unfortunate circumstances with what took place. And yeah, it's going to raise red flags, and it's going to make people question, you know, those things. But I live it now. I live it out loud, and I live my life as a Christian now more than I ever did my whole life. I am, like I said, born again believer. I've made mistakes. We've all made mistakes. It's not your past that defines you.
I know I'm dwelling on religion for a sec. Stay with me.
You're fine.
You mentioned, what does the Bible say? Sort of a go-to rule of thumb for just, like, judgment calls. I think there are a lot of folks who would disagree with that in the context of, like how government officials should make decisions, right? I don't know. Do you think that's a good rule of thumb for an elected official in, like, a government body?
The Bible has been around for centuries, and this country was founded on biblical principles. This country was founded by the original forefathers with biblical standings, with impact in law, with impact in decisions made, hence a lot of the things that we have to this day and the structure of our country. I use that to drive me as the individual to make the positive impact that I make. Will that be in everybody's wheelhouse? Will they agree with all of that? No. Like I said, we won't be able to please everybody. But you can rest assured that I'll obviously make sound decisions.
The candidate said his policy goals for the city include infrastructure maintenance, transparency, and economic development. But mostly, he says he wants to keep Washington a vibrant community for his own 7 children.
And our kids, we love to come up here and see the water fountain. That's something that we do when the weather gets nice and they finally get this thing turned back on. It's one of the things our kids love to do is we come up here and we spend time walking around and the kids like to watch the fountain. And they hoop and holler over the colors and just the fascination by it. It's those little things right there that are building the memories as a childhood that this country really doesn't have anymore. We're a rare community to still have those sort of things that our children can grow up in an innocent environment.
Thanks for tuning in to this special edition of the show. For those interested, absentee voting has begun for the special election. You can do that in person on the second floor of the Washington County Courthouse at the Auditor's Office. Absentee voting hours there are 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. on weekdays and 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. on April 26. If you vote on Election Day, polling places are the new Y Building for Wards 1 and 2 and at the Fairgrounds for Wards 3 and 4. If you want to know more about the candidates, there's plenty of places to look. You can check out the Washington Evening Journal from any newsstand in the county between now and Tuesday for the candidates' profile pieces. There's also a Chamber of Commerce forum for the race at the high school on April 23rd. That'll run from 6 to 8 p.m. Check out our website for a link to where you can submit questions for the candidates. Okay, I think that's it. This has been an election edition of the Washington Weekly Review. I have been an election edition of Kalen McCain. Have a great week.